numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning, too. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Was Hatton and Party People. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin in the house. Producer number 9, so much more than a producer. How you doing, man?
Doing well. A little toasty back here still.
I heard Matt Brown had to take off his blazer yesterday.
Oh, man. Hey, as bad as it is in here right now and was yesterday for us, Gil,
yeah.
10 times worse in the afternoon.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I heard he had to do the show without a blazer, which, by the way, is a major concession for Mateo Brown.
Oh, he was going. He wanted everybody to know it was the first time he had ever done a show here without a coat.
And there was word that it was a plunging collar for him as well. A word got around. Let's just put that.
Yeah, he was. It was a deep, deep cut. Let's say that.
Deep cuts with Matt Brown. All right, so we'll brave it through again. We'll brave through the humidity. Here in the studio at the South Point. On the show today, Drew Dinsick will join us, talk NBA, talk tennis, talk football with him, as we're always thrilled to have the whale capper on with us. Jim Root on college hoops after a weekend of just ranked teams falling left and right in record-setting fashion, or at least record-tying fashion. JVT on the NBA. We'll do our NFL power rankings into the divisional round, our top eight. I have no idea what Kelly's are, but I'm going to guess Cowboys have to be 6. It's all my only guess.
Yeah. You know, I don't think we're burying anything here, Gil, by saying that we've had the top 6 right for a long time.
Pretty much all year.
And I'm not saying we, like, just me and Gil.
No.
Like, everybody has
known human.
Pretty much all season that there are 6 teams that matter.
And that was the point of the power rankings all year, is there never been a more static year. Never been a year where the movement has been so little. So we'll get into that. And let us start with last night's game. What is the opposite of a classic, Kelly? Whatever it is, that Stinger. Was that. Cowboys 31, Buccaneers 14. In a game that Dak Prescott went 25 of 33 in, 305 passing yards, 24 on the ground. He scored a touchdown on the ground as well. Dalton Schultz, boy, he loves himself some Dalton Schultz. 2 touchdowns for Dalton Schultz on 7 catches for 95 yards. And the Cowboys get it done in a way that... you know, Troy Aikman described as, at least in the Dak Prescott vein, and he said, that's the greatest game you think he's ever seen Dak Prescott play.
Oh, I thought that too.
I'm going to get to my big points here. But.
And maybe that's like because of a little bit of what we've seen recently, right? Like maybe that's a little recency bias playing into that thought.
Maybe.
Because it felt very 180-ish,
that's
right?
True.
But man, he was sharp last night.
First 5 minutes of that game were a wash, a couple punts, like 4 really quick drives. And then Dallas, they just turned on the switch against the Buccaneers. 80-yard drive for a touchdown. Then the big play really early was when the Bucs went 70 yards, but then Brady threw that awful pick in the end zone to Jayron Kearse, which was preceded, by the way, at the end of the first quarter by that cross-field on-the-run throw to Brate into a team meeting of the Cowboys defenders.
Did you rewind that as many times as I did?
I did. 2 or 3 times. I'm like, what is he doing?
Because, of course, you immediately think, the throw. What are you doing? You're Tom Brady. You never do this.
That's correct.
And then
that's
in my exactly sick brain, I start looking at the other side of the field. And I think, what kind of athlete doesn't have one? He's got one guy in front of him in the end zone. You just got to take off. And I know it's Tom Brady. God forbid Tom Brady ever runs. But, Gil, he had 12 yards between him and the defender. He could have at least picked up 2 or 3 and slid.
Yeah, so that was bookended by 2 Cowboys 80-yard drives. The Cowboys added a 91-yard drive. All of these to make it 6-0, 12-0, and 18-0 because Brett Maher.
Legend.
I don't know what happened to him yesterday, but after a great season of place kicking, both with field goals and extra points, he just got the yips yesterday. By the way, went to 24-0 on an 86-yard Cowboys drive in the third quarter. His Mar missed another one. Brett Maher went 1 for 4. He finally did hit a PAT later. Anyway, that's, you know, the story of the game. Complete blowout. And I just want to, there's 2 big points I want to make. One of which is, before we put the Buccaneers to bed, let me just say it one final time. One final time. I will forever remember the 2022 Tampa Bay Buccaneers as the team that the quote-unquote sharps and really, more importantly, the betting market steadfastly refused to budge on, yeah. no matter what they actually witnessed on the football field. It was remarkable. It was unbelievable to view this all season long. It never abated. Speaking of unabated, do we have that clip from the Megapod?
We do. Right now, Gil, would you like to hear from you?
What timing?
From week 8?
Now, the point of this is not to say, look how right we are. But, you know, just for gratuitous purposes, this is the Megapod. This is after week 7. And just boys and girls just know that on the Megapod, you get salty, Gil. And here's how that went about the Buccaneers.
I have watched these two football games. And I think it's very valid to say which is the real Tampa Bay. Will the real Tampa Bay Buccaneers please stand up? But if you've watched these last two games, I think there's a bit of motor memory with us on the Bucs, where it's like, okay, it's Tom Brady, and they won a Super Bowl a minute ago, so they still have to be good. This team sucks.
I'm with you, Gil.
They're the worst.
Their defense doesn't suck.
Are you kidding me? Carolina ran through them. This is the worst football team I've seen this year. Excuse my friend.
Wow.
So bad.
Poor Rufus. That was Rufus Peabody, who I had enough of, because he was giving me the analytics take on how good the Buccaneers really were. And I was like, no, stop it. This was an 8-9 team that made the postseason. They were really 6-11. Let's face it. Those two Brady miraculous comebacks. I mean, come on. This team, it was amazing. So again, the point being like, look how right we were all year long. The point is, this was such a betting market anomaly.
Mm-hmm.
I half expect someone to come on the show today and say, Gil, I got the Bucs this week. And I'm going to have to tell them that the Bucs have been eliminated. You can't take them this week. It's over. Stop. Finally. By the way, the Brett Maher thing. You know what the Brett Maher thing brings up? Because that's it. That's my eulogy on the
incredible
Buccaneers. But last year we did this before the divisional round. We always talk about field goals when we do recaps, field goal kickers. We never actually look at their numbers. These are actually the numbers of the remaining four place kickers. Brett Maher. Now, when I'll summarize these because there's a lot of little numbers here.
I split by conference here, Gil.
Thank
NFC
you.
And then AFC.
Thank you, Kelly. Appreciate that. Brett Maher, along with Graham Gano, had the best field goal percentage in all of football this year. They were both 90.6%. They were both 29 of 32. When it came to 50-plus field goals, Brett Maher, Graham Gano, and Evan McPherson had the best percentage from beyond 50. Best percentages. They were all really good from 50 and beyond. By the way, Robbie Gould, you'll see there, had the best percentage on extra points. He was 50 of 51. But that's what makes the Maher performance, Maher. Why do I keep saying, because I'm thinking about Bill Maher.
Don't do it to me, okay? Because I've done it to myself too many times.
The Brett Maher.
Yes.
That's what makes the Brett Maher performance yesterday so peculiar. I mean, can a guy get, after a year like that where he went 29 of 32 field goals, 9 of 11 from 50 plus, 50 of 53 on the extra points, and he misses more extra points yesterday than he did all year. Was there a part of you yesterday that was like, are they going to sit him? Are they going to cut him before next week? Part of me was like, oh my God, can a guy lose his job in one game? By the way, if you're wondering, which were the worst kickers in the NFL on field goals, 50 plus, and extra points? McPherson, who was one of the best on 50 pluses, was the worst on extra points by percentage. He was 40 of 44. And oh, by the way, he missed one in the wild card game this past weekend. Strange year for him after a great rookie season. And the worst on field goals and 50 plus was clearly Harrison Butker, who was 18 of 24 on place kicks. He was terrible from 50 plus also, 3 of 7. He was the worst there. And so, by the way, I think he might have the longest also, which was 62, which is a little contradiction. But the Chiefs do the best job of hiding him.
Yeah.
Because they're so awesome. So anyway.
I got a couple things to say about
please.
Brett Maher.
Please.
A, Gil, the greatest performance in that stadium since Jameis's 30th. Now, I'm talking touchdowns. I'm talking his 30th interception in that 30-30.
That's right.
When I don't have money on a game, my mind goes into sick places. When he missed the second one and then lined up for the third one, I said, please let him miss this. Let's make this a thing.
You're rude for it.
And he shanked the third one
I couldn't believe it when the third one
missed. I know. It pulls the third one. I'm like, this is great. This is fantastic. Because this is now a storyline no matter what happens with this game, right? Then Remember, you know, we always hear these jokes about like kickers and punters or people too. Oh my God, did you see the sideline reactions? Did you see Emmitt Smith's video? Have you seen people, ex-players talking about it this morning?
Well, Dak went crazy on it.
Dak goes crazy on the sideline. It is so clear and obvious that, oh no, kickers, you are fine as long as you are making field goals and extra points. You missed a few of these, you are excommunicated from the team immediately. Emmitt Smith had some video I saw last night of him calling for his job and thinking the game was still going on.
Well, all this leads us to the lines for this week, which is, again, it's Maher's performance yesterday, but knowing Butker has struggled this year. Like, are those enough to – I'm not saying they'll change the outcome of a game win or loss, although maybe it will, but certainly from a point spread perspective. And, Kelly, here's my worry heading into the division round. I have so much conviction on all four games.
I hear you.
especially the last three, right? I love the Eagles laying the points. I think the Giants beat up on a terrible Vikings defense. I thought the Giants were a fraud all year, as so many have. The analytics back it up. I think it's way too many points for the Bengals. Oh. I know they have the offensive line trouble, but Joe Burrow, this side of Tom Brady, gets rid of the ball the quickest. I think that's ridiculous. By the way, the Bills lucking in to the home game because of the DeMar Hamlin matter. And thank God DeMar Hamlin's okay. And then I love the Niners. They're only 4-point favorites.
I thought they'd be six.
I guessed that last night. I said six. Everybody said six. It's four. Give me the Niners. And I kind of like the Chiefs, too, because I think the Jaguars.
Great teaser leg.
They were playing horrible quarterbacks the last stretch of the year, and they should have gotten crushed on Saturday. Uh-oh. I like too much. Drew Densick next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much, much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Won't take you but a few seconds. And then stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Won't take you but a few minutes. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, that is, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. We get tweets at Beating the Book. John Massey at JT Massey. Gil, it's almost as if Tampa Bay was bad all year and won one of the worst divisions in football. Almost. This is from Volto. Volto or Votto? I believe it's Votto. Credit due, you were pitching this around Halloween. Yeah, that was right before week 8 there, right after week 7. This is from Primetime. Good morning, Goobers. Just your daily reminder that Tom Brady has never beat the Dallas Cowboys in the playoffs, and Mike Tomlin has never had a losing record as a head coach. Thank you for that reminder. Appreciate that. Alex Ivanov came out. Gil came out firing on today's show. Love it. That was actually from the Megapod where I was quote-unquote firing. Rick Olier, hey Gil, while playing the clip from the Megapod, my emergency alert test went off as I missed about 5 seconds of what you said while describing the Bucks. Did I miss anything? Anything important? Maybe. So much of this. Dom Perignon, I had teasers and round robin parlays all tied to Tampa Bay money line at +3. It was never a bet on Tampa, but a fade of the Cowboys. You had this Tampa team right all year long. Shout out Denny Green. We are who they thought they were, which is a hot garbage NFL team. By the way, still coming up on the show, we forgot, we buried the headline, Kelly. I have never seen Kelly Bidlin more excited than a segment that we are doing today. Can I tease what it is?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yesterday, Kelly you were like giggling with giddiness. You wanted to do like two segments on Ravens gossip.
Yeah.
So we've decided to make a segment.
True and untrue.
Yes.
So we got Ravens hot goss. Fake Ravens headlines coming up later in the show.
Rona Barrett, for those of a certain age.
Fake Ravens headlines that you would totally believe. Let me put it that way.
You should do the whole thing where, like, you give four headlines and you totally make up one of them and see which is
right. We should have done it that way. Should have done that. Dang it.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is at whale _ Capper. He comes to us to talk multiple sports, including tennis, which we will get to, but football first. It's Drew Densick. How you doing, Drew?
I'm doing okay, although, I dumped a bunch on Tampa Bay last night, so it's a fresh wound coming in to try to defend my decision-making there. But, I guess maybe... more credit. I felt like we come out of this game with more credit for the Cowboys. Like, they looked like the team from the middle of November that you would have said was top, you know, top 1-2 power rated in the NFC, much more so than the team we saw in December. So
do you think, do you think that line though this week where the Niners are only 4-point favorites, do you think that's too low though? Do you think that's a big reaction to that game last night? When again, let me just stress, Tampa Bay is no good at football.
It's possible. I mean, you know, in the same sense, though, like the Niners picked on their little brother and the Seahawks on Saturday. So the Niners rating fair either.
I mean, they've won 10 in a row, right? I mean, you know.
Yeah, they've beaten some pretty soft opposition. Like, this is a true test for both teams. I don't know that you can say that the market is overreacting at 4. I think a lot of people, even before the game between Dallas and San Francisco, called 4 as their fair. And, you know, if it was 3.5, I would agree that, you know, you're talking about a little bit of an instant reaction, too many people buying on Dallas. If it was, you know, in the 6 range, I think you're going to get a pretty one-sided market among the sharper players betting Dallas. So 4 feels right. The total is more surprising to me. I'm a little surprised it's at 46. I think both of these offenses are alive to, you know, get into the mid-20s. So I would have expected something on the north side of 47 there. So I think I'm playing the over in that game and just letting the side let it be, because 4 to me is right on number.
You're playing the over. You're playing the over 46.
Yeah, I think realistically it's the Niners defense certainly has places you can attack, particularly down the field. This feels like a CeeDee Lamb type of game in terms of, you know, plan A, B, and C, as opposed to, you know, last night he was pretty clearly a decoy, and they tried to get it, you know, tried to get it done with Tony Pollard and Dalton Schultz, and that worked well. I would expect they play away from the strength of the Niners defense in this case, which is Fred Warner, and, you know, as in the, you know, off ball and do what they can to neutralize the pass rush. And, you know, Dak was pretty mobile last night. You know, there were some questions swirling about did he re-aggravate an ankle injury in the game against the Titans, but he was unbelievable last night. In fact, he was kind of the picture of poise, and if he's able to utilize that same mobility against a very strong pass rush for the Niners, then I think Dallas is getting into the 24-point range, and certainly with the embarrassment of riches that the Kyle Shanahan is working with offensively, and Dallas loses another cornerback last night. I don't think Curse is gone this week, so they should be able to really do some damage down the field, assuming that Purdy can kind of absorb whatever pass rush Parsons manifests, Lawrence manifests. He hasn't really faced a kind of a meaningful top tier pass rush in his stretch as a starter, so this will be a little bit of a test for him, but I believe he will pass the test in the sense that I think he can get into the mid-20s here. So my starting point for a total would have been 47.5, so happy to get on the other side of 47 here as an over 46.
Let's do these in reverse chronological order, that is. Since we started with the last game, let's go to the Bengals and the Bills earlier on Sunday, where the Bills are now 5-point favorites. One would assume on, the offensive line woes of the Bengals. I made the point earlier, besides Tom Brady, Joe Burrow gets rid of the ball the quickest. So I think that's a bit of an overreaction. The total's 50.5. What do you think here?
Yeah, this is... would have been a market that would have opened 3.5 and stuck at 3 all week. But in the absence of any kind of positive information coming out about the offensive line for the Bengals, you saw a pretty significant move come in on the Bills yesterday. 5 now feels like sort of the bargaining point for a lot of people in this space. And I don't know that people are dying to lay 5 with this Bills team, considering how, prone they are to turning the ball over and keeping their opponent in the game for fun for lack of a better explanation. But, the Bengals having issues offensively against the Ravens on top of losing, another tackle is a pretty clear, warning sign. Now, Joe Burrow has thrived even in an environment where he is conceding 4 to 6 sacks a game. So even if the Bills pass rush does show up, and, they're not the most fierce unit in the NFL, but they can get after the passer. So, I think if you're taking the Bengals and the points, number one, you're expecting Lou Anarumma and this defense matches up well against the Bills, which I think they do. And then number two, you're hopeful that Burrow can, move the offense despite, conceding somewhere in the ballpark of six sacks. That's a tough ask for me. So at the end of the day, I'm going to skip the side here. I think 50 and a half is kind of a strange move to the over yesterday. I never understood that. Like, I got it why Buffalo goes out to five because of the offensive line injuries, but why also it went, the total went up made no sense. So under for me in this one is the stronger move. And actually, as we are talking, you see circa goes to 49, that's correct. And I was dancing on the under as opposed to really swinging hard, because I was hopeful we may see 51. It looked like it was trying to get there. 51 is obviously a little bit more of a key. This is now going down, which I think is correct.
Drew, are you drunk with power? You came out of your mouth.
Correlation, not causation.
Drew's talking about it. I'm like, at some point, I think I need to jump in here and say that as Drew is speaking, I'm seeing my board light up and go to 49 and 48 and a half.
Dude, I like these games way too much. Way too much. I love the Bengals. I love the Niners. Let's go to Saturday. Yeah, I do. Let's go to Saturday. Again, reverse chronological order. The night game, Giants at the Eagles, where the Eagles are 7.5-point favorites. And I guess we're trying to figure out if Jalen Hurts is playing or not.
Is that really the question?
We assume he is. Yeah.
The number implies certainty that he plays, which caught me by surprise yesterday, actually, because, this open 7.5, you saw it get bet down to 7. It was at 7 as limits kind of came up, and I thought, okay, this is your deciding point. If anyone has information that Hurts is not 100%, this is going to come off 7 to 6.5, but it went the other way to 7.5, and I was like, what? Okay, so somebody out there has relatively high confidence that Hurts is not just going to go, but he's going to be fine. I mean, that flies in the face of the quotes you got from Jalen Hurts last week, where he was talking about he is still dealing with the recovery from this injury, and it was a good thing the Eagles had the bye. I mean, that's a eyebrow-raising quote. To say that sort of stuff. So that was a surprising move yesterday. And, I think at 7.5, you are watching closely the practice report. You'd like to see some film from Hurts this week at practice. And in the absence of that, this is probably Giants or pass.
Giants or pass. Okay, we'll talk Jaguars and Chiefs. And we'll talk Australian Open, NBA. See how Drew's first days of his Australian Open has gone. And we're in a survivor pool as well in the Australian Open. See how that's going, men's and ladies' side, for Mr. Dinsick, Whale Capper, Deep Dive, Bet the Edge podcast. On the other side, a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're looking for a betting edge on football's big game, the Visa experts have got you covered. Become a Visa Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of only $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game. Deep dive betting reports. VSiN betting guides for the biggest games of the season, where our experts break down brackets, best bets, and all the big game props. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to sign up for only $9.99 to become part of the Sports Betting Network. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Larry Fresh talking about how the studio is humid in here. He says, ladies and freak, can we use Nelly Hot in Here as intro music? Yes, we've been singing it all morning.
Yeah, we can use little bits.
And a little bit of Andy V, if there was a Christmas for a young Jewish boy like Gil, it's today, the day the Bucks lost ATS again for like the 15th time this year. Yes, indeed. Must have been on at like 9 out of those 15.
See, that was the one we were texting about last night. I texted you. I was like, I can't decide if I'd rather see the Cowboys just hammer this team right now tonight, right, or if I'd rather have the Bucks win so I could bet against them.
I would rather have the Bucks win because I'm heavily invested in the Niners.
Also, I'll just say quickly, I think that of the teams that we kind of had power rated differently, the Vikings, I feel like I took advantage of betting on this year. I'm not sure I took full advantage of betting against the Bucks.
Other way for me. Yeah. Totally took advantage of the Bucks. Not so much Vikings. Teasers and parlays. Hoping the VSiN Plus subscription comes with the more salty version of Gil. Yeah, I think it will. I think it will indeed.
Oh, that subscription we always joke about. That would be the real salty version.
That would be
salty
awesome.
Would not be the correct word.
Really? Cowboys underscore Cubs one. There's a simple solution to Mars extra point problems. Cowboys take two unsportsmanlike penalties after every touchdown and move the extra point back to 63 yards. Mar, the only kicker in NFL history to never miss from 60 plus on more than one attempt.
Maher. Maher. You're going to screw me up, too.
Do I keep saying Bill Maher?
Yeah, you keep saying Maher.
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 Brett Maher. Patrick Maher. Bill Maher.
And then in between, Brett Maher.
Good God.
It's tough, man. I've been screwing it up, too.
Murphy, 12800, he said, Gil, at one point, Troy Aikman did say the Cowboys need to find a kicker for next week.
They all did. Everybody did.
Yeah. And Bobby Donnelly, just watched the first episode of Breakpoint. Yes. Thought it was excellent. Looking forward to the rest now. Thanks. Netflix tennis docuseries called Breakpoint. I've watched all five episodes. It's phenomenal.
Oh, there's five up already?
Kyrgios was the first one. Berrettini and his girlfriend, Tomjanovic, Isla Tomjanovic, were the second one. Taylor Fritz was the third one. Sakkari was the fourth. Anjabur was the fifth. It was just tremendous. Paula Badosa was in there as well.
Sure, it's great. I still don't like the name.
Who, what?
I still don't like the name. Makes me want to watch Point Break.
Breakpoint?
Every time. Yeah,
it's cheesy. The golf one coming up in February is similarly cheesy title. Oh, you're like, I'm all in on golf.
I'm all in on that. Yeah.
Drew Dinsick, kind enough to rejoin us here. Drew, have you watched Breakpoint, by the way?
No, man. How did you get time to watch five episodes?
Because this was before literally the night it came out. My girl was like, let's watch something. I'm like, we're watching Breakpoint. I'm not watching 90 Day.
Yesterday, you know what? Yesterday would have been the day to do it, I guess. I don't know. There was NBA on all day. The last 72 hours has just been sort of like a fire hose of sports and betting. Like, I'm exhausted right now. I am beat. Dude, credit to your producers for just putting up the card instead of my actual face. So you can see how little sleep I've gotten.
There is no time during the Australian Open. Once the Australian Open starts, there is no time to watch anything. None. Like football, wall-to-wall weekends, and then late-night Australian Open. Before we get to that, Jaguars and Chiefs, any thoughts on that game?
Yeah, well, so, I mean, the Jags are my last remaining any kind of any kind of equity in the futures pool. So I need them to pull off the miracle. I don't feel super confident. I think I would point to what Peterson did in that Saturday game as even more evidence that he is like a bona fide master when it comes to managing a game, particularly a young team, a team that's, you know, dealing with adversity. That was masterful. And his offensive game planning is largely going somewhat unnoticed, or at least unheralded. But he had the answers that he needed at every single second in order to, elicit that comeback. We have so much evidence now that this guy is just sort of a guru when it comes to in-game management in the playoffs based on his history in Philly and now in Jacksonville. So I'm hopeful that he can keep this game competitive and find a way to have the ball with 4 minutes left. And, you need him to take all 4 minutes of the clock away and kick the field goal to win, right? Mm-hmm. Like that was... how many times do you see a team with the momentum coming back on their lifeless opponent score too early and give them one more chance? The Jaguars not only managed to get down into, the distance where their kicker could, not kill them, but also wipe out like the last 3 minutes of the clock in that game. Like mm-hmm. It was absolutely perfect.
It's beautiful.
And it was beautiful. And, I think there's a lot of things you can say positively about the Chiefs, obviously. They're not here by accident. This is now, a long record of Mahomes being the best quarterback in the NFL. But, they've had a relatively soft path. It's been a while since we've seen this team go up against elite competition. And when they have really faced some elite offenses over the balance of this season, looking specifically at the Bills and the Bengals game, looking at the two games they had against the Chargers, like they have a tough time winning with margin. The Chiefs, a lot of wins this season by 3 points. Ultimately, do they deserve to be the favorite? Clearly, is 8.5 fair? Yes. But I'm holding up hope that the Jaguars can keep this competitive. Pretty noteworthy move came in on the over yesterday. It pushed this over 51 in one swoop. So that was a big chunk of money that hit the board. I agree with that.
I want to move it along to the Australian Open. I don't want to cut off your thoughts, but so what's the bet on the Jaguars? You're just hoping that your season longs will get there.
Yeah, I have 155-1 to win the Super Bowl, and 75-1 to win the AFC, and that's basically the last remaining futures that I have that have meaningful equity at this point. So, holding out hope, and you know, I'll look for a live game entry if the Jaguars are down. I mean, you know, they're clearly a team that can come back. You know, but my fare on that one is 8, so 8.5 is not a bet.
First day and a half, because matches got suspended due to heat, like this studio, Kelly. They stopped playing tennis yesterday in Melbourne. And how has your first day and a half gone so far?
It's been mixed. Kind of classic, getting just ridiculous CLV on a couple of dogs in the plus 200 range that close like plus 140, and they never really have life, which
I'm bitter because I have. I'm bitter because I have Danka Kovinic, and she was up plus 185. She was up. She won the first set 6-1. Then it was 3-3. They stopped the match.
Oh God!
And then when they came back, she was a shell of her former self. And so she's down 4-1 in the third set. I'm bitter.
Just ice cold water. Yeah. This is kind of classic. It's been tough to get dogs home so far. It's been a very, very chalky start, which is, again, like if you follow on the long arc of Australian Open and tennis betting, the first couple of rounds of the Australian Open are usually a little more chaotic. Like the top end players that everybody expects are going to walk struggle a little bit finding their form, and that has not been the case so far. It has been a very, very clean tournament. The only kind of meaningful upset we've had so far was, I guess, Andy Murray beating Berrettini last night. If you didn't watch that match, go catch the highlights, because that was already leader in the clubhouse for match of the year, even in January 17th. Crazy upset by Murray there. I don't know many people really thought that was happening.
You have any bets for tonight?
I do. I've got a couple on the men's side. So I need to kind of rerun my numbers now that we kind of have the revised order of play here. Mm-hmm. But the one that really stuck out the most to me was Lorenzo Sonego. I think he's live against Hubert Hurkacz. That's going to be a long match. I think Sonego, you know, coming off of an upset over him in the fall, is going to be playing with a little bit of confidence there. Sonego plus the 5 games, I think, is the highest EV play there. That's minus 105 is where I got that. I think that's good up to minus 115. If you can't find a Sonego plus 5, if you have like plus 4.5 or something, I think that's also good. In fact, I would take plus the games at the best kind of plus money price you can get it at wherever you shop. I like Sebastian Korda to handle business convincingly against his Japanese qualifier opponent, Watanuki. Sebastian Korda 3-0 was available at plus 130 this morning. I bet that that's getting pushed around right now. So interest in that market, but I like Korda to come through cleanly before running into his match in with Medvedev next round. And then lastly, the Nishioka match. He's up against a Czech qualifier, Sverzina. Czech qualifier, I believe. Maybe have that wrong, but this young guy playing with a ton of confidence. That one's going to go over the total. I played over 35 there, and I think that's good up to about 37.
Okay. Drew, maybe we'll get any NBA plays you might have off air. We'll repeat them after the break if that's okay. We appreciate the time as always, and we'll talk during this tournament. By the way, good luck in Survivor as well.
Oh, yeah, you as well. I'm still alive.
I'm alive on the ladies' side. I'm cooked on the men's side already, so there's that. Fun playing Survivor. Coming back, a revisit of NFL Super Bowl MVP odds next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Basketball fans can turn a loss into a win with the king of sportsbooks. Just place a single first basket score prop bet on any NBA game, and if your bet loses, you'll receive up to $25 back in free bets. Wager confidently and take your game to the next level with BetMGM, an authorized gaming partner of the NBA. Just log into your account or download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Then wager on any player to score the first basket in any NBA game. And if your bet misses, you'll get up to $25 back in free bets. Turn game time into showtime with BetMGM. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York City. It's New York State, actually. I just wanted to say New York City. Okay. So our betting tip of the hour, want to get that in. This one is just sort of about the Eagles nugget here, but really about market moves. Market moves can give you an indication on injuries. For example, the Eagles moving off the 7 to 7.5 instead of 6.5 can tell you a bit of where bettors think Jalen Hurts is at. Again, just one little example of how you can read the tea leaves on stuff. This is leading into something here after the pro tip. Every pro tip searchable on VSiN.com, at least one every hour. 20 a day is what that means, at least, for recent pro subscribers only. Speaking of reading the tea leaves, Kelly, you have a little Los Angeles Chargers coaching news for everybody.
Yeah, looks like Staley is safe, but multiple reports coming out now, and the Chargers have confirmed it as well. Offensive coordinator Joe Lombardi and quarterback coach Shane Day have been fired.
Yes. So with Lombardi and Day being fired, what that tells us is that Staley is safe. That is a beautiful thing for Brandon Staley. I don't know if it's a beautiful thing for the Los Angeles Chargers, but we said this yesterday on the show. We said the Spanos family is going to do what the Spanos family is going to do.
Yeah.
And so there you go.
I don't know. I think we made our feelings pretty clear yesterday, or I did. But, hey, man, if I guess find someone that loves you as much as the Spanos family loves Brandon Staley.
Or as much as they love not having to pay out money.
Or that.
You know, to a guy that they fired and they're still on the hook for. Is really what that's about. But that's a very Chargery thing with the Spanos family. There's no Charger fan that is surprised by this.
I think you can also, what that also tells you is, Sean Payton, whatever conversations they might have had, came and went with him.
Sean Payton really wanted badly, by all reports, to be the Chargers head coach. Apparently the Spanoses don't really like paying out dead money.
So, and there was...
more than that.
I know Payton said this yesterday. Man, I am forgetting which show he did this interview on.
He said, absolutely, I'm interested in the Texans job.
He said that he believes the Saints will demand a mid to back-end first-round pick for him in trade compensation.
I also think, and this is a little of the hate wash over me on this, how many Super Bowls has Sean Payton won? Uno? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's everybody calm down a little bit. I just want to say that. Great coach. Well, let's everybody just chill.
I hear you.
Just chill. I guess what I'm not saying he's not a great coach, but again, let's hold two thoughts in our heads at the same time. I know that's very difficult for people, and I'll get misquoted on it, right? As people tend to do. You said this. No, I didn't. I said the opposite of that. He's won one Super Bowl. Everybody chill a little bit.
I think the other one is you often hear coaches and quarterbacks compared. It's harder to find a good quarterback than it is a good coach. So,
yes.
at least in my opinion, right?
Yes.
So, I think I would rather try and fail on a new coach and do that multiple times than I don't want to say settle with Sean Payton, but you're paying big time for Sean Payton.
And I'm just saying it's the point again about Bill Belichick. Look, Bill Belichick, right? Hall of Fame coach, Mount Rushmore, rival coaches, right? Is he the same coach with Mac Jones as he was with prime Tom Brady? No, he's not.
No.
So, again, that's why Joe Jackson Gibbs is the greatest of all time. 3 Super Bowl wins with 3 different quarterbacks, none of whom are in the Hall of Fame.
Yep,
I'm sorry, have I mentioned that before
Stamp
on the show?
Stamp your bingo card. Gil got it in. I got a couple line moves I want to update real quick.
Yeah.
Gil, in the NFL.
Please.
So we're talking about these games, and Drew was all over this total Bengals-Bills. This is down to 48 flat everywhere I'm looking right
Jeez,
now.
Jeez, that was so quick.
In the course of us talking to him, 51 or 50 and a half down to 48 is where I'm seeing it everywhere right now. That line, there are a couple 5.5s out there now. Bill's 5.5 in a couple spots.
This is amazing to me. And again, getting that there are 3 offensive linemen who are banged up. Collins and Williams being the biggest ones of those. But it's like, okay, Joe Burrow gets the ball out quick, and again, last we saw, but the biggest thing about this game, again, is the Bengals, the fact that they have to go and play at Buffalo.
I know.
It's awkward, right, because you're not allowed to
say it. It's awkward.
Because it's like the poor guy almost died, and so I get it, but it's like, ah.
We all knew this too, right?
We all knew it.
It sucks. We knew when it happened, and we knew the day after when we were on air, whatever the situation came out of this, it was going to probably suck for a team.
But instead the neutral game happens in the championship when the Chiefs weren't, you know what I mean? It's like the Bengals really got it. Really got the shaft.
I also saw some whiteboard, chalkboard material for the Bengals. Just saw the tweet come across that the league has told the Bills and Chiefs to go ahead and let their season ticket holders know to start buying neutral site AFC Championship games tickets.
Wow. That is
bulletin board.
No, I said billboard.
I
got it way
wrong. We went 0-3 on that?
Whiteboard, blackboard, billboard. We're looking for bulletin board.
We're looking for bulletin board.
What is happening to us? By the way, real quick, before, is there another line move there you want to get to?
Yeah, the other one is this Cowboys-Niners game. We're down to 3.5 everywhere, Gil. 3.5 I'm seeing a 3.5 juiced in town to the Cowboys.
Kelly, I must not have watched football all year. I do not understand any of this.
I mean, I was sitting back here a segment ago thinking, well, there's no way this gets to 3. I might have to buy a half a point.
Absolutely. Come on,
yo! There's a chance we see 3.5 today. Second shop just popped up 3.5 juice to the Cowboys.
Niners 3.5 against Jekyll and Hyde, Dallas Cowboys.
Shanahan
versus McCarthy.
I think it was a tweet we got earlier, right? Where about the Bucs, and it's look. I think you're my attitude last night was, well, we can't fade both sides, so we don't really have a bet on this game. Like, we can't really bet against both teams.
Yeah.
So we don't really have a bet on this game. Look, I'm not I'm still in the camp. You are a much bigger 49ers believer than I am. I think this team is amazing, fantastic, great. I am in the camp of Brock Purdy concerns me a little bit. Does it at a point, and this will be the best defense that he's played so far, does Purdy finally look like a seventh-round draft pick? And I can't get that out of my head.
The one thing that I do concede on Brock Purdy, and I have said this, he has tremendous, what we call in the megapod, itch luck. Interceptions that should have happened. No bad pass of his. He throws a lot of great balls, but he throws a lot of bad ones too. None of them seem to ever get picked. You would think that would have to come to an end at some point. But I'm all in on the Niners. Futures from before the season, now Super Bowl MVP plays on both Kittle, George Kittle, and Christian McCaffrey. Let's take a look at those Super Bowl MVP numbers. Again, this is a great market. We talked about it last week. If we said anything last week, this is probably the most important thing. Play this market by proxy. If you think a team is going to win it all, look at this market for perhaps a more shrewd wager. Now, there's some teams where it's not a more shrewd wager, right? Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts, basically the same number as their football teams. So why play them? Just on the off chance that if they won the Super Bowl, it wouldn't be them. Patrick Mahomes is very similar as well. Josh Allen, you could make a case, maybe a sprinkle.
Yeah, you could. I just pulled those up. So plus 350 on the Bills.
Yeah, that's changed now.
Yeah, that's playable.
That one has changed. But in the case of the Niners, dovetailing off what I just said about Brock Purdy, they have more obvious offensive weapons, multiple offensive weapons that you could picture winning a Super Bowl MVP than any of the other teams, really. And it's not only Christian McCaffrey and my choice of George Kittle, but also Deebo Samuel. And these numbers, by the way, haven't moved that dramatically from before the Seahawks game. So I got McCaffrey at 18-1. I got Kittle at 80-1. Kittle was available as late as yesterday at 150-1 at DraftKings.
He still is.
McCaffrey's 14-1. It's not like he went down that much. And Debo's 30-1. If you believe the Niners are getting to the Super Bowl, I won't even say about winning, but if you even think that they're getting there, you got to bet these.
Right. No, I'm with you.
I'm more excited about these bets than anything I have. Because if Kittle comes home, you know what that is for me. That's Ole Miss EGA territory at that point.
That is amazing. That number has not moved.
It's incredible.
We are around into the playoffs now, and that Kittle number is 150-1 I'm staring at.
I get it in the sense that they were a big favorite against Seattle, and they were supposed to win that game anyway.
Right.
But they still won that game.
Yes.
And so they're one game clear, one game closer. So I just think it's I can't stress it enough. It is, we talked about this last week. It is such a great market by proxy to play. Could you get, snookered by some random player? You could. But I mean, when the difference between the team, the Niners, and one of those offensive players, the difference in those odds is so dramatic. You gotsta. It's a gotsta bet situation. We'll come back. A little college basketball. How about that with Jim Root? What a weekend it was with ranked teams falling. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.